Hey there, friend. We've all heard the saying, trust your gut, but do you really trust it? Sometimes our gut, both our bowels and our instincts, can feel a bit out of whack. I know mine sure can. Did you know that our brains and our guts are connected? If you've been listening to this podcast, you might have heard that a time or two, but it's more complex and interesting than you might know, and we are learning more and more about the gut-brain interaction all the time. Our vagus nerve connects our brain to our gut, and inside the gut, many neurotransmitters are produced, like GABA, which helps regulate the emotions of fear, panic, anxiety, and overwhelm. So why wouldn't you want to take care of your gut if it's so critical to your overall mental and emotional health? One way I choose to care for my gut is by taking pre and probiotics by Just Thrive. Just Thrive offers many supplements to help with overall wellness, like immunity support, protecting against sources of glucose, mood support, and maintaining a healthy urinary tract. Also, fun fact, Just Thrive offers a probiotic for your furry friends. Yes, your pets. How awesome is that? Okay, following the show, scroll down to our show notes and click Just Thrive to start taking care of your wonderful gut today. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epting, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your host, Andrea Epting, and you're listening to the Direct Impact Podcast. Today, we are talking about internet age sexuality with Gregory Martin, who is back with us today to talk about a very important and interesting topic. So kick us off, Gregory.
Yeah, so I'm going to come out swinging here today.
I'm ready.
Most people wouldn't,
swinging for the fence.
Wouldn't do is repeat the toxic things that they heard on the internet, but let me... repeat what I heard. So I showed you the two pictures of that character I like to play, and a person on the other team in the middle of a game said in all chat, unprompted, said, I wonder what Penny does with her pubes, right?
That was the thought.
Yeah. So then my friend I was with at the time kind of confronted that person about it and said, talked about how she looks like an adolescent. And then the person defended it saying, they say she's 19 years old in this game. That's like what the director said. That's canonically what she's, how old she is, but that doesn't change how she's presented. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to pick your brain on, like, for lack of better phrasing, like, why would people think it's okay to do something like that?
To reference a character on a video game's pubes?
Yes.
You know, this is going to be a very biased response. You know mm-hmm. It is because of the field that I work in, which is sexual addiction, but mm-hmm. It's a very sexually charged thing to verbalize, mm-hmm. Which makes you think that there is a preoccupation going on with this person, a sexual preoccupation, yeah. Which leads me to believe that they probably are viewing pornography, potentially working on an addiction there, if not already full-blown. And so, like, that would be my, you know, professional analysis there if I heard a comment like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, there's so many ways.
Besides, you know, emotionally being repulsed as a woman and as someone who has an adult young woman child. Yeah. So I am allowed as a therapist to be emotionally repulsed and also very analytical mm-hmm. At the same time.
So one thing that you introduced me to, an article not too long ago, which was the pornographic style of relating.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit on this podcast.
Which, wonderful. Yeah. So in that regard, how do you feel about that style of relating being normalized in today's internet culture?
Well, I mean, I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because the pornographic style of relating was developed during the period of the Great Accelerator. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the pornography accelerator, which is the dawn of the internet. Mm-hmm. And so they really are just, they're hand in hand. The pornographic style of relating goes with what people have been viewing
through the internet, in both the gaming world and in the pornography culture.
It also makes me wonder, like, taking young men into consideration for a second, it's like, what are you exposed to of what is acceptable sexuality? Is it through television, through movies, through online streaming, YouTube, things of that nature? Like, what kind of messages you get bombarded and what typical things get normalized? But what I really want to ask you about is, what about, I remember an instance when you talked about talking to your daughter about dating boys who watch porn, things of that nature. Yeah. Like, has there ever been an evolution in that story? Has that played out more? How has her experience been?
Wow, yeah, because I was going to say, when you were talking about how it's normalized socially, but also through the internet and also through gaming, I'm like, yes, it's influencing the arousal templates of little boys and little girls. Mm-hmm. Like, the little girls are exposed to it as well.
Yeah.
And it is influencing their gender identity. Mm-hmm. It is influencing their view of healthy sexuality.
Yeah.
It is, you know, starting to interrupt and warp to some degree their arousal templates. And my conversation with my daughter was about all of those things for both young women herself as a big gamer, because she is a big time gamer, and also for the young men that, you know, she hangs out with or games with, right, in those communities. So, but her comment that you referenced was, I don't want to be in a relationship with anybody who is viewing pornography, therefore I'll never be in a relationship. And I was like, ooh, yeah. She's probably right as far as, will I ever be able to sit down and go on a date with somebody or match even with somebody who hasn't looked at porn? Probably not. I mean, let's just be honest, not in this world, not in this internet culture, is that going to happen for her? So if she's looking for someone who's never viewed porn, I think she's right. At that point, she would never date.
Yeah.
So it's, how do we have those conversations about pornography? And how do we start to rule out, does this person have a warped sense of sexuality?
Mm-hmm.
Does this person have addictive tendencies towards pornography or sex? Are they able to identify, you know, elements of healthy sexuality? Like, how do you have those conversations, right? And, you know, you and I talk a lot about courtship disorders, and this is even a hypothetical if, because with courtship disorders, most people are having sex before they're sitting down and having a conversation about healthy sexuality. So it's really, it's a tough environment. And the internet has really negatively impacted all individuals when it comes to healthy sexuality.
Hey there, this is your host, Andrea. I just wanted to ask you a question. Are you interested in being on a podcast? Do you want to share your amazing story with the world? Or are you interested in hosting a podcast yourself? Well, if you are, then we really recommend Podmatch. Podmatch works to ensure that well-suited guests, hosts, and collaborators can find you, with an easy filtering process where you can either match with a potential guest or you can pass. It's that easy. Don't have a podcast? Don't worry. You can be a guest on someone else's podcast and share your story with their audience. It's just a click away. Here at Direct Impact, we love the ease of using Podmatch and all the connections that we've been able to make through their platform. If this is something that piques your interest, tap this episode. Scroll down to the bottom of our show notes and click our link, www.joinpodmatch.com/directimpactpodcast, to support the show. Again, that's www.joinpodmatch.com/directimpactpodcast.
There's so much of the focus on the physical, right? The physical and gender identity for both, especially young women, but it's like how men are almost conditioned to like behave in a certain way, that it is normalized that you should be saying these things, you should be noticing these things, et cetera, et cetera. It's almost like, even when I'm growing up, I was born in 90, like the messages about what emotionally health, emotional health is in sex was like almost non-existent.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
And that's back in 90.
Right, right. And, I mean, gosh, people have been uncomfortable talking about sex for so long. Centuries.
Yeah.
And that comes out, I mean, we are in the United States of America doing this podcast, so it comes out of that Puritan culture, right? Where sex is taboo or sex is whatever, but sex is not taboo. It is absolutely beautiful. It is the most amazing and spiritual thing that we can engage in in this life, is like that connection and all of these beautiful things. We need to be talking about sex. We need to be talking about healthy sexuality, not just, you know, body parts and not just, you know, how those work and how babies are conceived and all of that and birth control. All that's very important, but we're not really talking about healthy sex anywhere. So, I mean, I think it's been a problem for a long time. And then you fast forward to, you know, the early 90s, where the dawn of the internet, right? And then you just throw that accelerator on top of really negative messages. And here we are today. It's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we going to do to combat that is always kind of my question.
True, but yeah. I also like to conceptualize, what exactly are you trying to combat? And I think it's multifaceted, of course, but the first one that comes to my mind is young men getting the message, or just the being surrounded by, like, how do I objectify without even calling it that? And then young
women don't even know they are.
Right.
Yeah.
And then how young women have to learn, like, when that comes to them, what to do.
Mm.
Like, how to survive in that kind of environment, so...
Yeah, it's tough because people know how it feels to be objectified, but they can't really articulate it. And that's tough. So I think trying to give language to people, both men and women, who are feeling either exploited or objectified or, gosh, sexualized, and give language to it, empower them to, you know, employ their boundaries when it comes to that. Yeah, but just like people don't know they're objectifying, people don't sometimes know they're being objectified because it's been happening their whole life. They know they get the ick. That's how they'll describe it. It feels icky. I notice it in my stomach. But they don't know how to articulate it.
And I think that, like, toxic cycle is further reinforced based on, like, when that sexualization is coming at you, when that objectification is coming at you, if you try to fight it, the kind of bullying and name calling, et cetera, that gets labeled onto you if you don't, oh, that's just how it is now. And then suddenly, oh, you're going against the norm there.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how do you get comfortable going against the norm? I mean, that's been also an age old challenge, because it goes against our biology, where we have to be part of to be safe. I mean, it just goes completely against our biology, and that's kind of like what we're asking some people to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't get the opportunity to have these conversations with people until there is addiction at play. You know?
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. But as we know, which is why I love working in the field of addiction, is there's a path out. There's a path forward. Once we have identified it, we can overcome it.
Yeah. So I know I asked about your daughter in this regard, but what about your son? Does he have any experience with dating or anything like that?
No, not a lot of dating, a lot of observing, a lot of talking about what is being observed. Now, this young man is very unique, and he is very much aware of and drawn to people emotionally. He uses his empathy and his, you know, intuition to kind of engage people on that level. So he might be like sexually attracted to somebody, but once he gets to know them, he can become unattracted very quickly, which is extremely impressive. And I love that about him. Also started, you know, engaging in pornographic materials, you know, at about the typical age, around 13, 14 years old. And then once we had conversations about that, he decided he didn't want to jack up his arousal templates and not, you know, everybody, most men and women want to be good lovers. They want to be really good, connected lovers. And when you find out at a young age that the things that you're engaging are going to wreck that for you in future relationships, mm-hmm. you start to disengage.
Yeah.
And he was able to do that early on. And so that's a blessing.
Well, that's
but I'm sure, like every young man, that's a struggle on a regular basis.
I can imagine so.
Yeah. But I think, you know, like I was talking about earlier, you showed me that image and mm-hmm. you said, how old do you think this mm-hmm. character is in this yeah. video game? And I said, you know, 17. Mm-hmm. She looks like a young 17 to me.
Yeah.
But as a parent of a young adult, I gauge a lot off of, mm-hmm. you know, what I see around me. And it does, like I told you earlier, it shifts when you, it becomes even more repulsive to you when you can look at a character and be like, oh my gosh, that looks younger than my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah. ooh, this is scary. Like, this is what's being normed at, this is what's being sexualized. And I think it does set people up very quickly and easily to start progressing into child pornography.
Yeah, sexualizing adolescents. And just in general, but like I actually had to stop. I enjoyed a manga called One Punch Man. I actually had to stop going to the Reddit because a character that was technically 29 years old was drawn as if she was 12, and mm-hmm. people were posting erotic art of her. So
not technically 29, mm-hmm. just the producer or developer saying 29.
Yeah,
knowing exactly. that mm-hmm. they look like they're 12. Yeah. Yes, which is dangerous. It's dangerous. I think people need to be building these games more responsibly.
Yeah.
They're impacting a lot of young brains, young developing brains, and they're not being responsible.
Mm-hmm.
They're not being educated so they can be responsible.
I was going to say that that's the sad part is, what was like the saying? Research is always, what, 10 to 20 years behind technology?
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, so how much... Which generations are we going to lose in that process? Mm-hmm. That's 20 years. That's a whole generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Gregory, for bringing these important topics and an important perspective, because a lot of the people who are listening, you know, they grew up in the dawn of the internet and they don't even realize how much it has impacted their arousal templates, their sexuality, and all of that. And it's a big deal.
Yeah. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Yeah. Have a good one. Thanks, guys, for showing up, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now. Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact. Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you, because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epting. Here is our legal language and disclaimer. Yes, I am a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist. And this podcast is solely for the purposes of enhancement, education, and entertainment. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you find that you need additional supports, we really strongly encourage you to seek them out today. Thanks, guys. Hey guys, it's your host, Andrea. I have a question for you. How frustrating is it that you have to pay your hard-earned money to see? Personally, I've been wearing corrective lenses since the fourth grade, and the cost has really added up over the years. If you're like me and actually value your dollar, then check out iBuyDirect.com. iBuyDirect has many styles and affordable frames that fit your unique personality. Need specialty lenses like blue light filtering? No problem. iBuyDirect provides many options for customization like bifocals, progressives, tinted lenses, and more. Do you have 20/20 vision? Great! iBuyDirect has you covered too, with many sunglasses options that will allow you to express and enhance your individualized style.
Do you like premium brands? I do. I buy direct carries Ray-Ban, Oakley, Vogue, just to name a few. Click the I Buy Direct link in our show notes and get affordable custom eyewear today.